Hello and welcome to ASI Cast number 180. I'm Richard Marks, ASI's Research Director, and today we have another in our short series of podcasts that are setting the context for our upcoming conference in Venice this November. We've been speaking to some of the speakers, and today I'm joined by Matt Hill, who's Director of Research and Planning at Thinkbox in the UK. So welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Now, it's actually Matt's third appearance on the ASI cast, but I was looking back and it's his first for 6 years, so it's going to be good to catch up. Now, at the conference, you're going to be presenting the findings of Thinkbox's Profitability 2 project. It'd be good if you could give us some context for that project. It's clearly, the name implies, a sequel to the first Profitability movie. So, what was the plot line of that first movie, and what cliffhangers is the sequel looking to resolve?
Absolutely. It's the most anticipated sequel since The Godfather Part Two, I think. The original Profitability was we coined it the business case for advertising. So really the essence of the original Profitability was about the need to help bridge the conversation about advertising between the marketing department and the financial teams. And I think one of the long-running challenges that there's always been around marketing or advertising has been the degree to which it's seen as a cost rather than an investment, and the fact that it's just not it's sim it's not as accountable as I don't know, increasing your distribution or building a new factory. It's not as easy to account for in the long term. And so what we wanted to do, and this was working with Ebiquity and Game Theory, who've got a long-running relationship with advertisers and helping them to position the role that advertising is playing, and working very closely with those businesses to help use techniques, principally marketing mix modeling, to help understand the impact that advertising is having, and to provide that substance so that it has a seat around the board table with the rest of the exco and can be seen as an investment. So that was principally what we were hoping to achieve with Profitability. We also wanting to introduce sort of other concepts such as risk. I think if you want to speak the same language as the financial teams, they care about return, but they also care about the risk of that return. So if you can start to talk about advertising in terms of the potential return, but also the risk associated with it, you're more likely to lead to a productive conversation. So those were a couple of things that we built into the original Profitability. I think the need for a sequel was really down to the fact it was the original one was the analysis covered a period 2014 to 2017, and once we got to, well, we started work on it in 2023. The world was a completely different place. We'd had a global pandemic, we had a war in Europe, the economy was very, very different, and ultimately the media landscape had completely transformed. We've got the SVODs coming in, we've got huge increase in e-commerce and resulting increased spend in search. So the credibility really of the original Profitability was declining every single year, because we would get asked the question, okay, that's all very well, but that was 5 years ago. What does the world look like now? So really we wanted to bring it up to date to understand the current effectiveness landscape, and also what we wanted to do was to expand it to just make it more sort of comprehensive, more independent, and be able to cover more ground. So we've been working with a Group M on through Essence MediaCom and Wavemaker Mindshare collaboration on some other projects, which were all effectiveness focused. But we wanted to bridge that alongside the work with Ebiquity and Game Theory. And so we asked them if they were willing to work together to build an even bigger data bank. And they were all really, really happy and interested in doing that. And that's where Profitability 2 really was born about a broader collaboration. And in terms of the One of the areas that I think's evolved, which is quite interesting, is the idea of performance media has kind of sprung up over the last five, six, 7 years. And I think there's a misunderstanding in terms of performance media tend to get labelled as the ones that not ones that perform, but the ones that provide instantaneous reporting. And so we tend to see that a lot of short-term investment is now purely going into channels that can provide some kind of indication of performance in the short term of how well it's delivering. Whereas the reality of what actually performs is much, much broader than just search and social advertising. And so I think we wanted to, through profitability too, start to provide a better picture of really the time scale of return. So how long does it take to get your money back, and where are the channels that are able to deliver the most efficient returns in the short term, but also the most effective terms returns in the longer term. So we expanded it into those areas. So hopefully we'll be able to touch on that in a bit more detail in the presentation when we get to Venice.
Sure, you're going to be presenting in our Friday morning session, and you'll be presenting with your Thinkbox hat on, but you're soon going to be moving to a new role at Sky in the UK. What's that new role involve?
Really exciting move for me. I'm 10 years at Thinkbox, which it's a pretty decent innings, and it's an incredible place to work, and I've absolutely loved it here. But this new opportunity came up, and it was just too good to turn down, and it came about at exactly the right time for me, I think. And so really, I'm going to be going in working for Sky Media, so the media part of Sky, rather than the big part of Sky in terms of their whole pay operation. And I'll be picking up really where Lucy Bristow left off. They've got an incredible team over there. They're doing some really exciting work in terms of the outcome-based work and systems that they've got in place for advertisers to help them understand the impact that TV's having, which is now, as you know, moving on into also alongside the work we're doing with the other broadcasters in Project Lantern. That's all very much related and will be coming from the team that I'm going to look after. And then there's the measurement side of things that Sky have been hugely influential on. They're looking at, joining up linear and broadcaster video on demand. The C-Flight originated out of the Sky team, and I think there's more work to do in that area, and they've been already building on that. And then obviously the role within Barb itself, and the seat at the table on the Barb board. There's a lot that Barb need to do over the next 5 or so years in terms of progressing the TV currency and measurement going forward. And then they're also they've got a great thought leadership team that do lots of brand tracking work for advertisers and clients, but also research in similar areas that like we do in Thinkbox in terms of understanding viewing patterns and behaviors and uncovering insight that they can use to provide advertisers with a bit more information and data that can help them use TV more effectively, get the most out of TV. And they've been doing some really good work in that area already. That you might have seen their the absorption research, which is looking at really the way that people watch different types of content and their moods and behaviors and how that influences the environment from an advertising point of view. So I'm looking forward to getting involved in that. But I really need to get in there and figure it all out, get to understand the team, get to understand the business, and I think once I'm in, I'll have a better idea, and I'll be able to give you a bit more detail.
You mentioned Project Lantern, and there'll be a presentation on that at the conference. And if people want to check back to episode 177 of the podcast, we chatted to Sameer Moder, I think a couple of days after that joint venture had been announced between Sky, ITV, and Channel 4. So I'm sure you'll be watching from the audience with interest, with two hats on for that one. So
Absolutely.
now, you've been a driving force, as you mentioned, at Thinkbox for 10 years now. Looking back over your time, how has the evolving media landscape changed? What questions was the industry being asked when you joined, and what new questions have now come along?
Yeah, it's a great question because it's in a part it's the more things change, the more things stay the same. But there has been obviously shifts across the 10 years and a shift in focus. But if I go back to when I first started at Thinkbox, one of the principal jobs was starting to build a better understanding of viewing and how much time people were spending with different types of a video, because it was before Barb had the focal meters or any means of being able to actually report the likes of subscription VOD and broadcaster VOD. So we did a lot of work at the beginning about using different data sources like touch points alongside the Barb data to try and jigsaw together how much time was being spent with different platforms. And I think that got a lot easier as Barb developed their capability and their offering. But it's interesting, some of the projects kind of that we were looking at the beginning are similar to the projects that we're looking at now. It's about understanding the environmental qualities of different advertising environments, and how that impacts on the takeout of that advertising. And that's stuff that we were looking at, back in 2015, 2016. And there, I think also the focus on trying to get the balance right between your priorities of driving short-term returns, which were an essential business need, but safeguarding the future of the business by not ignoring the broader lasting brand goals. And so we worked on many studies that were looking at those kind of longer lasting effects and trying to find additional proof points and ways that this could be demonstrated to marketers to demonstrate to the rest of their business that this stuff really, really matters and is really important. So I think the research program has sort of changed, and we've adopted new techniques and approaches. But sometimes the questions are fairly similar. It's about advertising effectiveness, and what do we need to do in order to give our businesses the best chance of getting the most out of channels like TV, and how they complement other channels, and how they work alongside other channels.
Now, looking at it from the outside, the impression I get is that probably, I mean, Thinkbox has been around, obviously predates you joining them, but perhaps there's been more of a move from more qualitative sort of video ethnography projects, which were great for showing, reiterating how TV works, to perhaps more sort of big data econometric projects. Would that be a fair
Yeah, I
thing?
think we broadened out the this this I guess the scope from an econometric point of view. I mean, I was really fortunate coming into the jobs. They were already I think Dave Brennan had originally started working on the sort of the what they called the payback series, the benchmarking series, which was using econometric benchmarks from Ebiquity. And so you start with something and then you think, okay, where can we take this? And I think it's got broader and it's got bigger and it's got more collaborative across different companies. And we've been able to do more with the data, such as build tools like the Media Mix Navigator, which is using the data to help provide guidance to different types of advertisers, different sized businesses, different categories. So I think any job like this one is you're coming from a sort of foundation, from a base. And again, Neil Mortensen did the one of my favorite studies that Thinkbox has ever done, which is the need states studies that start to break down why people tend to watch different types of content, and why they choose to watch content in the way that they do. And again, that original study identified what the different needs were. And we replicated that study 5, 6, 7 years later. And it was about, okay, can we start to quantify the time that people spend in these different need states and how that differs for different types of video platforms? So it's always an evolution, this stuff. It's never, it's very rarely that you go, I'm going to, commission a piece of research that has never been done before, that no one's ever looked at it in this way. I think it's generally about you take something that you've already done and you think, okay, how can we build on this, and how can we make this even more thorough and comprehensive? And as the world's moved towards being able to use, broader data sets, that's made it a bit easier to have probably a more quantitative focus. What I would say is, I can't stress enough the importance of having that mix of qualitative research as well as quantitative research. And from experience, just presenting to a room full of planners or a room full of advertisers, you can show them the quant data on how much time young people spend watching TV, and you can stress the thoroughness of the research in terms of it being metered data, and that it's based on people meters and people are logging in, and you can talk about how big the panel is and everything goes alongside it. But when you show them a Vox Pops series of videos of young people talking about the telly they love watching, it suddenly makes it real in a way that you can't get across with the quantitative data. So I think you've got to use, it's almost like with advertising, it's using a mixture of the rational arguments alongside the emotional arguments. You need both sometimes in order to get your message to land.
Yeah, it is human nature to react to actual, human beings consuming your product. I remember back when I was doing a lot of print research, we'd often do a big quant project, but to start it, we'd do some focus groups, if that's still the right word for them, and the editor would be behind a glass wall watching his readers being interviewed. Then we'd go off, we'd do a 3,000 sample survey, report the results to him, and he'd be sitting there scratching his chin going, "Yeah, but that woman didn't like it in that group in Ipswich, did it?" In fact, because he'd made that connection that a bar chart on its own couldn't quite make. But,
It's sometimes it's seeing is believing, I think. Some it, like video, certainly like the Gogglebox style content we use, where when you see how people are sort of behaving when they're watching TV, when they're watching the content, and when they're watching the ads, and you can see them that they're engaged. And we talk about sort of attentive reach, and we talk about trust, and we talk about costly signals. And when you actually see them watching advertising and talking about the ads they see and enjoying them and laughing them and together, you kind of twig, it clicks, and you go, that's what it is. That's how it works. So I do think from a probably from a research, but from a marketing point of view, is that you need to communicate with both the evidence, the rational evidence, as well as the sort of the more emotive, relatable content that people can understand.
yeah, you need to bring it to life. It's a really good point. Obviously, Venice is now less than a month away, which is quite scary for the ASI team. But what do you think are the really crucial issues more widely in media measurement at the moment? The ones that you're hoping perhaps to get some answers to, or at least to debate at the ASI next month?
Well, I think the great thing about the ASI is it's international, and you're getting perspectives from all around the world. And it's quite therapeutic because everybody's grappling with the same problems. And I don't think anybody's necessarily, found a silver bullet answer that's a solution that's going to solve our issues. Generally, the sessions I find most useful at the ASI are related to either building a better understanding of advertising effectiveness, and how we can measure advertising, especially across channels that don't have a sort of direct return part set of data like TV or like radio. And then obviously cross media measurement, and how different countries are reacting to the needs of their customers in terms of delivering solutions that provide provide advertisers with a view of how effectively they're reaching their audiences. And as we know, this is a very charged area with a lot of nuance and a lot of complexity. And I think ASI gives us a forum where we can have some of these conversations. And if somebody's made some ground, you have the option to say, okay, well, how did you get there? Or what was the secret to finding agreement? Or what was the methodology that you've used from a data point of view that helped you to get it over the line or to bridge some of those challenges? Sorry, that was a bit of a ramble, but I think it's the essence of it is having a global community. You've all got shared challenges, being able to get together and share what they're doing and how they're trying to solve for it.
No, I don't think it's a ramble because, in many ways, to explain how you got to a point where a project was a success, you've got to be willing to share, the stages where it went wrong, what didn't work, and not everything clicks straight away. And I think we try and encourage, delegates to have an open and honest conversation, not just about, look what I did, isn't it wonderful? But also to talk a bit about the headaches they have as well as
Well, yeah,
you're
that's the
explaining.
interesting stuff. That's where the gold is quite often. Is what was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome in order to get there? And quite often, if somebody's already been there and done it, they can save you a lot of time. If you're trying to go down a similar route.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we look forward to catching up with you in Venice and for your presentation on the Friday. In the meantime, thanks for joining us, Matt.
It was a pleasure. I will see you in Venice.